You know, perfection is sometimes, you know, we talk about being perfect, or we look at something and say, oh, that baby's perfect. You know, or we look at someone and we say they're perfect. You know, they're not, there's flaws there. But, you know, we say that word, you know, quite liberally. It rolls off of our tongue. There is, you know, perfection is rare. Just to give you an example, I have a coin in my hand. And the United States has been making this particular series of coins since 1986. And last year they made 47 million of these particular coins. And there was only 300,000 that turned out to be perfect, to a perfect grade 70. Perfection. There's some years where they've made 7 million. This coin's been getting popular. More people are buying it over time. And in the 90s, you know, they probably made as many as 7 million in one year. And there's only a handful that came to be perfect 70. It's rare. And the lower the amount, the higher the value is of a coin. Some of those coins will fetch $20,000-$30,000. This coin's only worth $100-$200 because as people understand and see that what perfection, what it results, you know, the money that's involved, when they get the coins, they don't touch them. They quickly send them in and get them graded. But they have to go through a lot of coins to be graded to get this perfect 70 grade. There cannot be any scratches, no blemishes. It is perfect. And so it is rare to find a perfect 70 coin. But it's not impossible. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the only human being on this earth that was perfect. Never sinned. Totally did the will of the Father. That he was perfect. Our goal for us is to be perfect. Perfection needs to be our goal. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Paul talks about perfection and how this process is. He says in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. So Christ is the one who's perfect. Jesus Christ, God the Father, says, this is my perfect Son in whom I'm well pleased. It is no longer I who live. So for us to seek perfection, to be given that gift of eternal life, to become perfect at that time, involves this relationship with Jesus Christ. As we come up to the Passover, we are reminded of the perfection of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and what he has done for us, and what he's done in living to the Father. And so he says, but Christ lives in me. So it's Christ. It's Christ living in him. So the question we can ask, is Christ living in us? The life which I now live in the flesh, so Paul's saying, I don't have eternal life, I'm in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the graciousness of God. In other words, I don't set this gift that God has given to me. I'm using it. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So he's saying here, there's more to this relationship with God. We need to become perfect. And it's through God's graciousness and it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we need to, as we're called, we live by the word of God. Let's go forward a couple chapters over to Galatians chapter 5, because we have a requirement to work towards perfection. Galatians 5:16, he says, I then walk in the Spirit, So it's in the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. Without God's Holy Spirit, we cannot strive to perfection. And you shall be filled, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, of our body. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So we wrestle, we fight, we strive to become perfect. So that you do not do the things that you wish. There's things in our mind that we want, you know, we wrestle with, we struggle with. Some of the things that we have influences that come to our minds and the forefront of our mind and the reaction sometimes. We have to wrestle with that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the penalty of the law. It means we don't remain in sin. We continue and we go on. And it talks about the works of the flesh. Let's drop down to the works of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, it's love. It's joy. These are the things that we need to be living. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, if we have God's Holy Spirit, it says also walk in the Spirit. So we're to walk in the Spirit. Dropping over to chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. So here's been a warning here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So whatever we're pursuing and whatever we're doing in our life, those are the fruits, whether they're good, whether they're bad, that's what we're producing. And if we're producing bad fruits, we can't live to perfection, as we'll look here in just a minute. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then we're encouraged that don't worry. All these things that are going to come upon us in this lifetime, that's, you know, at this time of the year, Satan is working overtime. He doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to be pursuing perfection. He's doing everything he can to thwart us, to fall by the wayside. And all these things, this process and this life where Jesus Christ did good, and he was killed for it, we're going to suffer as well. Let us not weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We need to be there for each other, encourage each other to not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. We do good to all. And we can't do good to all unless we first have a relationship with God and we have a relationship with our families, with our church family, as we'll look here and see in just a minute. But we are told, Paul says, that we are to go on to perfection. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We're talking perfect, without blemish. Like this coin getting graded, Mint State 70, the highest grade possible. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about. That's what we heard in the first message. But what gets in the way? He says, let us go on to perfection. Here he's correcting. He's teaching. He says, Because there's individuals that were keep wrestling with their conversion. Wrestling with the sacrifice of Christ. Repentance of dead works. And asking for their sins to be forgiven. Thinking that all they had to do was keep the law. They were wrestling with this. Wrestling with the baptism, the laying on of hands, as Paul is talking about here. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We understood all that at baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. But if you're not going on to perfection and you're not growing in your life and you're still dwelling on this, we will do this if God permits. If God permits. Won't go on. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have who have tasted this heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and not going on to perfection, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Jesus Christ is not going through that again. We have an opportunity now, and we must be growing. We understand that we're to be growing, that we're to be doers and producing fruit. And that's what he says in verse 7. He gives the example of the rain, the physical rain coming down on the ground, watering the seed, and the seed growing, paralleling with God's Holy Spirit, with us. We need to be growing. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. Okay, receive blessings from God. But if we're not moving on to perfection, it bears thorns and bearers and is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. We don't want that. Paul is telling the members here to go on to perfection. Let's go forward. And you can continue reading and how that process is, but we have been called to go on to perfection. We are called to give our all to God. To not lie, to not steal, under any circumstances. Some people would say, well, and if someone comes into my house, I have to do whatever I have to do to protect myself. You know, that's a subject that comes up quite often. But do we really love God? Will we really put him first? And love that individual more? More than our family members, or just as much as our family members. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. God wants us to put him first, to love him. He tells us in Matthew 10:37, we don't need to turn over there. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God says to love our enemies, to love those that hate us, to take care of them. It's not saying that you can't try to do something, but we don't want to do something drastic. We have faith in God. We know that God will resurrect. And we know that these things will happen. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Did you know that before the tribulation starts, the church is scattered? Do you know that 25% of the population of the world dies before the tribulation starts? If we are alive before the tribulation starts, if we're not growing to perfection, we're going to be what Jesus Christ is warning about right here. You have two sides here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 says, Jesus Christ answered as the disciples are asking, when is the sign of the coming of your return? Jesus Christ answered them and says, take heed that no one deceives you. We're told in the scriptures that there's leaders, teachers in Paul's day that got up and spoke that were misleading the members. Is it any different today? We're told in the scriptures that there's wheat and tares in the church. Is it any different today? God tells us that we are to be able to discern the spirits, the good and the bad. We need to be praying for that. If we're not seeking perfection, we won't be able to discern right from wrong. But he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, why is he saying that? He's saying that to the disciples. He's saying that to us. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name. How many different splinter groups? How many different organizations? God knows who are his. But you have to have God's Holy Spirit. You have to have been called. You have to be living God's way of life. You have to be pursuing perfection. Anyone can say, put a stamp on here, come Mint State 70. But that's why they have grading services. There's two main grading services. And if you're not stamped by that particular grading service and protected and sealed in a certain capsulated capsule or case, there's people that will do fakes. And you could buy a fake, spend thousands of dollars, or even hundreds of dollars. There's people that fake these for different grading services. People deceive people all the time, because Satan is the god of this world. So Christ is saying, be careful. He says, they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not troubled. Wow. See that you are not troubled because you are pursuing perfection. For all these things must come to pass, and they will come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nope. The end is not yet. The end of this age is not happening yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. Now, if we are in this time, and who knows when this is going to be, what's our thought process? What's our thinking? Are we ready for it? Because they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So if someone comes into the house looking for you because you're keeping the Sabbath or whatever particular reason, they're coming up to bring you up to trial to kill you, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to love them? What do the scriptures say? And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Saying, you're going to be hated. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, more people to be deceived. and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Agape love. Because people aren't pursuing perfection. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who holds fast and is pursuing God's way of life, who's growing and overcoming. And whether that's just before we get resurrected and we're still alive, or just before we die, but we endure to the end, no matter what, whatever that end is. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. God's word will be preached and everyone will hear it. Before the tribulation starts. In all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. The end of the age will come. Then it goes into the abomination of desolation. That's when the beginning of the tribulation starts, in verse 15. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I'm giving us a background that we, God's people, can go through anything. We've seen our brothers and sisters being sawn in two, saw their children being killed, and they loved to the end because they strived for perfection. So the title is Going On to Perfection. So I want to talk about today is how this is done. In a little way, because this is a big Bible. But we are to be lights. We're to be lights of the world. God has called us to be different so that he can be glorified. Well, the question is, what are we seeking after we've been called? Are we seeking a humility as we're coming up to the Passover to be reminded? Or are we still seeking maybe, it'd be nice to be one of the two witnesses, or positions in the church? Yeah, we're seeking things, pretending. Where is our mindset? Are we thinking of things of the self? We have an amazing calling. The opportunity to be perfect, which in this society, very few of these get that grade. So if many are going to be deceived and many are going to be offended, where does that leave us? Something to think about. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:9. Many individuals were seeking things for the self. Hey, we're no different. I still have to overcome that. Hopefully I'm doing better. There was times that's all I thought about was Monty. Didn't care about my people I did business with. In God's mercy, he's helping me to go on to perfection. And I have not made it. I need to endure. We all need to endure to the very end. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, here it's talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 1. And it says I don't want you people to be ignorant. I want you to be dumb. You've been called to hear God's word. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, serving these other gods, blinded by this devil. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. We have this understanding that we can use the sacrifice. And we have that understanding because we've been called, we've been given a gift. We've been given a gift. God has opened our minds and helped us to understand the scriptures, given us faith, given us repentance, and then we respond. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, to understand God's word, unless we have God's Holy Spirit. You know, there's a number of diversities of gifts. It says there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. People were seeking the special gifts, but God says, these were gifts that God gives to those who are serving other people who already have the Holy Spirit. Because it says up here, down here in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works in all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. People were seeking these special gifts, seeking things for themselves. But Paul is saying here, you want those special gifts? You want special gifts from God? It comes through the Holy Spirit, and He's the one who wills and gives those things as we yield to Him, as we're serving other people, as we're getting rid of the self, as you go through that. But verse 13 talks about godly love for all who accept His call and who have been called. God gives different gifts in the church. We got different levels of administration. We have ministers. As we yield to God and are growing in the Holy Spirit, you show a variety of special gifts that God has given to you because we're yielding to Him. Those are above and beyond because we're not seeking our will. We're seeking God's will. But verse 13, or chapter 13, it talks about for all of us to move on to perfection. He says, if I am not growing in agape love, or agape love, however you want to say it, if I'm doing all these different things, and let's just read what Paul says. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, I have all these different languages, but if I don't have love, I'm just a bunch of noise. He says, sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I'm able to teach. I'm up here teaching. And understand all mysteries that God has opened my mind to understand and see. And all knowledge. And I have all faith that I could remove mountains. Guess what? It's more than that. If I don't have love, it's nothing. I'm not seeking perfection. And though I bestow all my goods, all I give. And I feed the poor, and I give of my body. I do anything for anyone. And to be burned, to die. If I do not have love, it profits me nothing. That love comes through God the Father and Jesus Christ, calling us and us accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And as we'll see here in a little bit, as we go through this process, what we need to be doing to be able to have this type of love, to be seeking perfection. We know about this. We've talked about this. We've had many sermons on this. I'm just trying to come at you at a different angle. And my prayer is that we can all get this and see this. But we also know what the Scripture says, that many will be deceived. We need to be there for each other, that we don't want this to happen. We need to be praying fervently, living fervently, and we need to be seeking perfection. And we can renew our commitment at Passover. And we need to go to Passover. None of us are worthy to take the Passover. Only through Christ's sacrifice and their love and their graciousness have we been called, and we're called to be there. And it's good to see that we are wretched and ugly, because we are. We need that perfect sacrifice. We need to be cleansed so that we can pursue perfection. We are required to be there. So here we talk about this love, this agape love that we need to be having to pursue perfection. It says love suffers long and it is kind. So we're going to talk a little bit about this type of love. Talking about that it's patient. I mean, it's talking about to persevere patiently, to be kind, to be gentle, to endure situations. How many times have we gone into things where we've had to, you know, bite our lip and say, God, help me to endure. Help me to hold on. Help me to love. We need to be mild. We need to be slow to anger. We can't do that on our own. We have that example and that attitude, the parallel in Matthew 26, verse 19, where it says, be patient with me and I'll pay everything. I'll pay everything back to you. In other words, we're showing our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we're willing. We can't give. All we can do is give of ourselves and yield to God and accept that sacrifice and move forward. Luke 6:30 talks about doing good for others and expecting nothing in return. It's what it is. It's just, don't even think twice. And we can ask ourselves, you know, how are we doing? You know, because is God the one who is merciful to the unthankful and the unmerciful? No. If we go down that path, we're heading for the lake of fire. For us, if we receive the Holy Spirit, we don't want to be murmuring names under our breath, calling someone maybe a blockhead or a moron. I mean, and there's people that do some dumb things. I do dumb things. Talk to my wife. I make mistakes, but she's merciful, very loving. And I'm going, wow. But we don't want to speak evil. We don't want to speak gossip. We want to be patient. You know, love waits patiently. Maybe some of us can get and understand some things, maybe faster and easier than others. But we need to be patient. Wait. Waiting patiently. It takes a long time for me to get things. I mean, it acts kindly. I mean, this is a good reminder for us all. Then it says, love does not envy. We don't envy what someone else has. We don't desire to, oh, they have that and I don't have it. No, it says not to envy. And we don't hate things that others have that we want. We see this in society. Countries that have oil and no countries that don't have any oil. And there's fighting and bickering and they're trying to get the oil for themselves at the expense of lives. And the people that have the oil are envious and they don't want to share. We have a very bad society. You know, love does not focus on issues. Easy to let things go. Our government, United States of America, is what we live in and I live in, focuses on issues and it's tearing this country apart. The haves and the have-nots, get them against each other. I don't have very much money. The 1% does. It's not creating unity. People's houses are now getting spray painted that are rich. and blurbs about the 1%. And you see it on the news all the time. Our government has done this. Is that lifting up our country and helping our country? We don't want to be putting, this person has that and that person doesn't have that, or I don't have this and you have that, and how can I get there? No, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, doesn't brag. How many times have we been in a conversation, something comes up about someone, or they're talking about something, and all of a sudden, maybe we interrupt and start talking about ourselves. Oh yeah, I've done that, and we lift ourselves up. God's love does not parade itself. It lifts up others, lets others talk. We don't have to interject and lift ourselves up. It's not puffed up, continues on. In other words, it never fails. It never lifts the self up, as we're reminded during these Passover days. It's there to benefit others, to truly, from the heart. Love does not behave rudely. In other words, it's courteous. It's tactful. These things don't come naturally. These are things that we have to pray for. These are things that we must be seeking. There's time for directness. Don't get me wrong. We need to be direct. We can be angry and not sin, and we can have love for others and be direct. But it's in kindness, wanting the person to be able to make it in the kingdom, not for me to put it in your face, but to help, to be gentle, to be loving. Love does not seek its own, Paul says. In other words, I don't have to be right. I don't always have to be right. I ask myself, how many times do I do that? We can repent. We can change. We can work on this. This is a process where Paul says that we want to grow in. And we have problems if we do this. I'm not going to Mr. Knutson. He's always right. It's not right. It's not good. You know, when we have God's love, it cautions us. It cautions us in seeking our own ways and our own will. It's an outgoing love and concern for others. We desire to be seeking God's ways. It's praying for His will. It's seeking that relationship. Paul goes on to say it's not provoked. In other words, it's not touchy. It's not irritable. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't get irritated. It goes on. It thinks no evil. You know, we have, I hear in the news about countries that are still pointing at other countries for things that were done 500-600 years ago and holding them accountable for what they did. And you owe us this. Satan just really stirs it up. We don't want to be a part of this. God's people will be attacked. The question is, are we going to be the attackers? And if we are being attacked, how are we going to respond? Because if we don't forgive others, as we just heard that song before I came up here, we cannot be forgiven. We cannot be forgiven. Goes on, love does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in sin. It doesn't rejoice when someone hurts. It sighs. We sigh and we cry when people suffer. We don't want people to have misfortunes. We want to be there for them and to help them and to just give of ourselves and to just go all out, as someone told me this past week. They don't care about themselves. I care about my brothers and sisters. And I see they're going down the wrong path, and I want to help. I want to encourage. I want to be there and get others involved to help. Love rejoices in the truth, Paul says. We don't deny our issues. We all have issues. Come to my house, I'll close my door to my office because it's a mess. I need to clean up my office. Do I close that door, my personal door, to my sins? Paul never did. He always opened up in speaking. I killed people. I hurt people. I did things wrong. I was of the wrong spirit. He was open. This love rejoices in knowing when we're wrong. It rejoices in the truth. God wants us to live the truth. It rejoices when sin is revealed to us. We rejoice when someone shows us we're wrong. We rejoice when God shows us we're wrong. Love rejoices in the truth. We need to move on to perfection. We need to hate sin. And we need to love righteousness. That's what the days of unleavened bread represent. All made possible through our Lord and Savior. You know, the love of God is if we keep His commandments. We keep His commandments. It means we love the truth. We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? Someone say it. Burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. Do we love the truth? Do we want to see who we are? Or do we want to shut the door so no one can see who we are? It takes humility to show who we are. And we can help others. And we can encourage others. And we don't have to weigh in on their misfortunes. We can be excited and to help. And when people can see and grow and change, love rejoices in the truth. Don't need to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. God says, if you don't love the truth, you can read a few more verses in there. If you don't love the truth, if you're not moving on to perfection, He's going to turn you over to be deceived, and we will believe the lie. The world has believed the lie. We've been called to come out of the lie. We don't want to go back into this world. It's important to love the truth. We can't do this on our own. We need a relationship with God. We need to be crying out to Him, as we'll look at in just a minute. But verse 7 says, love bears all things. In other words, it's always protecting. God's ministers are protecting and serving and giving. God's people are protecting, serving, and giving. They love the brethren. Not just the brethren, who we'll see here in just a minute. But it's a love that can bear any insult. If we're in the end times, when people are coming to hurt, to kill, to destroy, to take all your physical things, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. How am I going to be? I ask myself, am I going to be able to withstand? Am I going to be able to love and give? I pray to God for all of us that we're able to do that. I can't say that I am. My desire is I want to be something that I need to be seeking and pursuing and living in this life now and living to what Paul's encouraging us to live by and pursuing perfection, something that we must be doing. I mean, this type of love always trusts God's people. This type of love always trusts God's people. It's positive about all people. But it doesn't mean we're naive. But we don't have to be going in there and, you know, looking for bad things in people. We trust. We care. We can pray for discernment. We don't need to be naive, but we're there giving and serving. And God did that, and others did that, even though that they were being mistreated and even killed. But then it goes on to say, it believes all things. We have confidence in God. We know that God has, we don't have to go back and wrestle. Is there a resurrection? Is there not a resurrection? You know, how do we get that resurrection? As Paul says, hey, we're going to get past that. Let's move on to perfection. We have confidence in God without a doubt. We know that He exists. We have this hope. We have this understanding. And we live His way of life. And whatever happens, happens. We just want to do what's right. It hopes all things. It endures all things. In other words, it's always persevering. We don't stop. It's always trusting in God's ways. We may not understand at the time. And there's a lot of times we don't understand. But God says, do it. We need to do it. And not try to justify, well, oh, my nature, my flesh doesn't want to do that. As we read earlier, we wrestle with the flesh and the spirit. The spirit needs to prevail. The Holy Spirit. What God is guiding us and teaching us, we need to be strong. And His ways covers all things. We can forgive. It comes to this time in the end time, just like Stephen, just like Jesus Christ, just like the apostles, just like the individuals, love covers all things. God gives us contentment. He gives us comfort when we're pursuing perfection. Love never fails. And he continued on this process. Verse 11, Paul says, when I was a child, so he says, let's go back here. Listen, when I was a child, I was a child. I spoke as a child. I didn't know that much. I was a child. But God has physically, as we grow and as we change, we're to mature. We're to mature spiritually as well. And that's what he's saying here. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I've changed. Not all men change. Some people are still childish. I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. Back then, not very many people had mirrors, if they even had mirrors. It was maybe something they had to polish up and shine, and they could dimly see themselves. They couldn't see themselves perfectly. So they knew what Paul was talking about here. For now we see in a mirror dimly. We can't quite see everything. We can look in a mirror and we can see ourselves perfectly. Back then, he said, we don't quite see ourselves. But then, face to face. For I know in part, I know a little bit in part, we don't know everything, but then I shall know just as I am also known. You know, that is by God. God is the one. We just obey and we trust. And we're able to do that through the Holy Spirit. He says, now abideth faith. And we just read in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 about this faith, that you can have all this faith. I can move mountains, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. And I have hope. I'm living God's way of life. I'm serving. I'd even die. But Paul is saying, faith, hope, and love. You know, these three go hand in hand. You can't have love if we don't have faith in God. Can't have love if we don't trust in His promises and have that assurance, that hope, and we're living and doing and keeping His commandments. And then growing in that love through the Holy Spirit. Because it's through that love of the Holy Spirit that will give us this ride to perfection and then on to eternal life. That's why Paul says, but the greatest of these is love, because without it we couldn't get there. We couldn't even get on the right path, the right road. You know, our goal is to be Christ-like. If you have the opportunity, it'll be read at Passover. But you read John chapter 14, one of the many chapters that we go through. But I just want to touch on a couple verses. We're told to hate sin and to love righteousness. That's what can be on our mind. And all these things that we're talking about, where we fall short, doing this by ourselves. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So if we haven't been keeping the commandments, we're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 says, and if we receive the Holy Spirit, we've made that commitment with God. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He says, then I'll pray for you. I'm not going to pray, verse 17, for those of the world. And if we're still of the world, he's not praying for us. We've dropped off. Verse 18, he's there for us. And in verse 27, he gives us that peace of mind that can only come through agape love. It's those who keep his commandments and love him. Oh, I thought keeping the commandments was love. We can't have, there's people that keep God's commandments, but without, as we read in Galatians chapter 2, what was it, verse 19, 20, I've been crucified through Christ. It's not I who live, it's Christ living in me. We've accepted that calling and we yielded to him and given our all. We must love all his commandments. Hate all sin. Not just hang on to some of the commandments. Do all but one. Or I hate all sin but just this one. No, it's everything. We're all in. It's poker. I'm all in. We are all in, brethren. We need to be moving on to perfection. As Paul stated to the people he loved dearly and would die for. God called him to give of himself to serve his precious lambs, to develop them into sheep, to take care of them, to love them, so they can grow. It's all about giving God the glory. John 15:16-17 says, if we obey and we follow, and we ask for God's love, he will answer. He will answer. He will give us the strength. So we ask, how am I going to do this? Well, if this is our desire to do God's will, and we're asking, we're seeking it, he will answer. He tells us. John 15:13. Some people say, well, explain this scripture. John 15:13, Jesus Christ, these are Christ's words. There's no greater love. No greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Friends? No greater love. Well, explain that. Friends. I'm laying my life down for my friend. It doesn't say anything about enemies. But we see scriptures otherwhere where it talks about the enemies. We're supposed to love enemies. No greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Friends is not agape, it's philo. It's every individual in this world. Those are our friends. We are family, but we would be willing to lay down our life for everyone. And if we don't have the right relationship in this congregation and with God's people, how are we going to be able to be a light to the world? How are we going to be able to give and serve when people are being persecuted and hurting? Brethren, we must move on to perfection. So the days of the Passover and the Holy Day season, that's what it represents, is moving forward, coming out of Egypt, putting away sin, and going forward. Now we've been called by God, we've been invited. We've been invited to know him and his son. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand for us. We have this opportunity. And we've been asked to have a different mindset. And we're to be seeking a different mindset for God's will to be done on this earth for all mankind. And in that process, and in our life, we can't do that on our own. We need to be putting the fullness of Christ on in our lives and desiring for that for all people. And our lives, and our relationship, to become Christ-like. To do what Christ said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the Father's will. He always gave credit to the Father. How often do we give credit to the things that we do? God says He deserves the credit. He deserves the credit. That's pursuing perfection. And we're coming on and putting on the fullness of Christ. We want the best for everyone. We want the best for everyone. Forgive those. Forgive all those who sin against me. If we can't do that, then we're not going to be delivered from Satan. We're going to be, he's still there in our lives. He's still hanging on. We're still carrying him around. And we won't be able to have the gift of eternal life. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're desiring. We do all that. We're living God's way of life. Satan will flee. We don't want to live that way. Let's close with one scripture. Paul talks about 2 Corinthians chapter 13, not 1 Corinthians 13. It says 2 Corinthians 13. Paul is encouraging the brethren to go on to perfection, to live God's way of life, to accept this calling, to grow, to want to see our sins, to want to change. Second Corinthians 13:11, he says, finally, brethren, finally. He says, farewell. Not just farewell as he's going. It says, rejoice. Rejoice in this calling and this understanding. Become perfect or become complete, depending on what version you're reading. He says, through this process, be complete. Be at peace. Be of good comfort, he says. Be of good comfort. Are we wrestling and struggling in our daily life and how to live and keep going over and back over the same things of why I'm called, am I called, what about this, what about that? Are we still holding on to what we want and not really giving up what we need to be giving up and putting God first and going forward and doing what's right and quit thinking of ourselves? It was a warning that Paul put out. We need to be ready. We need to be ready in this lifetime. We need to be ready for whatever comes. Who knows when it's going to come? We need to be living it. And when it happens in our lifetime and we're not ready, we're not going to be there. We're going to be the ones hurting and killing. Because if you're not of God, you're of Satan. But he says, we can have this. We can have this as we approach the days of unleavened bread. God wants us to obey Him no matter what. We're tested. Are we going to do it? Are we living it? Is that our desire? Is that what we're pursuing? Are we pursuing perfection? If so, then be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.